Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome everybody to the On The Edge show with Katie Bonnet and friends. Happy Friday, everybody. What a wonderful way to celebrate another day of life by thanking our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for being here. I want to say our shout-outs to our 11,196 people that are now listeners of the OTE show. I want to send a shout-out to my team, Monster Mouth, Lady Diamond. Thank you very much for making us be right where we're at this moment. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to all of our stuff, all of our cyber stuff, all of our technical stuff, all of our blotted out dead air space at times when we've gotten the drops. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Okay, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry spin his magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. And you could also party with Barry at one of his events as the Track One Entertainment CEO. This month, we are going to have our last end of summer official rooftop party at that beautiful venue in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Terrace. We will be featuring performances by Double Exposure. You can see Barry or myself for some tickets. They're $20, advanced ticket sales only. You cannot get them at the door, ladies and gentlemen. So hit us up on Facebook. You'll be able to find that out. You can be a part of it. I want to thank Barry for allowing us to be part of his team, for helping us along here as we get started into the networking world. Stephanie Hammond-Tillette and Marcia Morgan of Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment. I want to thank you girls very much for all the little inputs and time that you have allowed us. And again, to my fans and our listeners, thank you very much to those of you that have been reaching out to us in our email inboxes and on Facebook and answering our questions. We want to thank you very much. All right. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be doing something a little bit differently. We are going to be saying thank you to all of you laborers out there, specifically the public servants, those that have worked the fast foods, the public transportation, those people you see picking up the trash in the parks, all of you that are go unnoticed quite a bit, where people demand more of you than they give a thank you back. We want to say thank you to you. And what prompted this was that very early this morning or late last night, considering what you want to call 1 o'clock in the morning, I had the need to go out to take care of a store run. And while I was there, I stopped at the local McDonald's that was out there in Springfield Gardens, Queens, over there in the North Conduit. I believe the store number for those McDonald's corporates that are listening is 3392. Now, McDonald's has been getting a really bad rap with good reason, and I'm not going to talk about their food, but we will say that very rarely do you go into a McDonald's anymore and see that the workers are what the commercials back in the old days used to represent McDonald's to be. Now, what they used to do, okay, was give you a smile, help you through your order, explain the menu, you know, smile at your children. None of this is happening anymore because everybody seems to be mad that they're there. They don't smile. It got to the point where everybody saw that McDonald's had to put up their own sign in a lot of the facilities stating that if you get your order without a smile, our next order is free. Your next order is free. That's how bad it got. So when it comes down to the two young men that I'm about to say thank you to, I want to recognize them because through the midst of the blanket bad rap that the corporation is receiving, these two young men went above and beyond the call of duty yesterday or this morning to make the customer service experience a pleasant one for myself and my four children. So I should say four of my children. And I want to shout out Brandon and Mark in the Springfield Gardens McDonald's for handling that crowd last night, for handling the missed orders, you know, with a smile, with a sweet tone in their voice, smiling and making jokes, making everybody not so angry, still giving us fresh food at the end of the order and the end of the mistakes. Thank you for that, because you know what? You weren't getting a good rap from the people standing there yesterday. A lot of things was going wrong, and both of you handled it with grace and style and professionalism, and you went above and beyond by even acting a little friendly. So big up to you. And I want to let you know that in addition to this broadcast, I actually emailed your bosses to let them know that whatever awards or accolades you should receive for this, you do. So Brandon and Mark, keep it up. Keep the smile on your face. Keep it moving, okay? We're going to go into our early commercial break. We will be back, and we will get started on how these workers are not being appreciated, the things that they take from the public, from strangers they don't even know, regardless of what they came to work carrying from their own personal lives. They manage to get out there and make sure that our lives are comfortable. Okay, so I'm going out with, what will we do today? Let's see. You know what? Big up to you guys. This is R. Kelly with The World's Greatest, and I'll see you back here in 4 minutes.
I'm the world's greatest woman. can just walk
the world's greatest.
And it's so greatest. Can you feel it? Hey, the greatest, yeah. Can you feel it, yeah? Now I'm from a light at the end of a tunnel. Believe in a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. And take what's right there. Pull me through, yeah. It used to be like gold. Now I can just walk on through. Hey,
now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. Tonight's topic is saluting the working class. We want to give a shout-out to all of those public service workers that are out there. We're talking about the kids that you see and the young men and women, the older men and women that are out there picking up the trash in the parks and the subways. We're talking about the fast food workers. We're talking about the bus drivers, the train drivers, all of those people that are out there, and their jobs don't seem so important to those of us around them, but the little things that they do are make big impacts in the way that we live life. And also, while this is supposed to be just about the working class, let me say that while this is not a working class category, this is something that we need to say thank you at all times, and that is to our military. Their lives are dictated by people that run our country, that they don't come into the homes of these soldiers and care about what's going on unless it's some big outbreak or something. But these kids get up every day and they leave their families and they march across some strange seas to go to some strange land to make sure that we can wake up in the morning and know that we don't have our houses bombed or nobody can throw some chemical in our water or anything like that. Something that they have to deal with. They come back with PTSD, with broken limbs, all sorts of things, and sometimes they don't always get a great reception when they return to their own home. So thank you, military. Even though this is about the working class, you guys are working for us all the time, and we appreciate it very much. So I want, once again, to those of us that are just joining in, I want to say thank you to Brandon and Mark of the McDonald's in Springfield Gardens, New York, Queens, right there on the conduit in Springfield Boulevard. At 1:15 this morning, I had to make a trip there. I had four of my children with me. We were enjoying the night, and we happened to get hungry. And there was not a huge crowd, per se, but there was quite a bit of people there, and each of them had large orders, including myself. And what happened was there were people snapping at these poor gentlemen because the orders were short or they misunderstood or misheard something that these customers were talking about. They were, you know, people didn't get enough ketchup for their fries or whatever the case was. And these two gentlemen, Brandon and Mark, and I will say this again, you two gentlemen were outstanding last night. The way that Brandon kept on smiling, making jokes, putting people at ease, keeping the peace, he refused to be indulged in any type of, you know, snotty looks at the customers, even though the customers that I saw last night were pretty much trying to give these men a hard time. And Mark just kept the orders flowing. And if somebody said, "You forgot my fries," he went back and he got it. These are the type of jobs, ladies and gentlemen, that we take for granted. We don't care about what the people behind the counter are going through. They serve thousands and thousands and thousands of strange faces. Okay, in a 4-hour to 8-hour shift. And they smile all the time. You don't know if these guys just had their doctor tell them that they're going to be sick for 6 months, or if their child is sick at home, or if they just got into an argument with their partner. You know, they come to work and they keep a smile on your face and they make sure you eat. They make sure that any above and beyond request you have, they give it to you. Now, the reason why I brought up those two first is because McDonald's on the whole has gotten a bad rap. Their customer service has been publicly noted as being the worst in the industry, and yet these two very young men, today's youth, stood in that uniform and acted like they were proud to be there and proud to serve us. And if that is not something that needs to be recognized, I don't know what's wrong with the people of you that think it doesn't. And McDonald's Corporation, those of you that are out there listening to this broadcast, that email I sent you today, I fully expect that these boys will be taken care of, because it's a hard, hard job to sell to a bunch of hungry people going in there for $1 burgers and expecting you to give them about $50 worth of extras. And the minute that something goes wrong, and trust me, I've been on the other side of that counter. The minute one thing goes wrong, the 15 times that you've been there before that it went right, it's the one thing that they're going to sit there and hear about for the rest of the year. And their bosses are going to chew their butts out for one small thing that could happen to anybody. Let me go over to the next set of people. Those young women and young men and older women and older men that you see picking up the garbage in the subways and cleaning out those nasty, filthy bathrooms, and those people that are in the public parks in the cold, in the rain, in the blazing sun, not being able to stop and get in the sprinklers because they're working, not being able to take a break because they have to walk through all those piles of woods to pick up junk that some inconsiderate person threw on the floor when they were 2 seconds away from a wastebasket. These are things that they do for you. For whatever reasons that they have to do it, they do it. And most of the people, Miss Murphy out in Montpelier Park, over there in Springfield Gardens as well, she does it with a smile. She watched people throw beer bottles and dirty condoms and cigarette butts and trash and let their kids throw their dirty diapers all over the place. And she does it with a smile and still smiles at the kids and still tries to make sure the children have a great time in that playground. So Miss Murphy, out there in Montpelier Park, working for the Department of Parks and Recreation in New York City, with kudos to you too. I know my twins love you. Let me talk about the guys that's going up and down Merrick Boulevard, picking up the trash that people are overflowing on purpose, while everybody's sitting up there sucking their teeth about these guys if it just so happens that they dropped a can after taking the big garbages. Unfair. But we want to say thank you right here on the Edge. Thank you very much. Thank you for doing the things that other people thumb their nose down at. Thank you for doing the things, and half of you, with the New York City way that it's going, are doing it just to keep the little bit of benefits that you're getting from the public assistance. For you to take the time out to look past the smells of the bad garbage, the snotty looks, the nasty customers, the people demanding that you give them 3 packs of ketchup if you're only required to give them one, and cursing you out if they don't, kudos to you for keeping that smile on your face. And shame on you customers for not acknowledging what they have to go through. They get a half an hour break in an 8-hour shift. They have to hurry up and eat in some unseen corner because they can't enjoy the beautiful view that you guys enjoy when they're remodeling and making beautiful seats and tables for you. They have to go into some closet that they probably share with the mop and the broom that has a little employee table to sit at. They have to make sure that they pay for the food, the very food that they're giving you. And Lord knows, if they take it home at night, they're fired. But still they report the next day to say thank you to you and how was your day. And for those two gentlemen who single-handedly, in my mind, wiped out or contradicted the bad public rap that McDonald's is now getting, McDonald's, you better get on your game and keep these men. I have a caller that's in that I believe has her own person she'd like to shout out and say thank you to, and I am going to bring her in. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Katie. It's Lady Diamond. How are you?
Hello, Lady Diamond. I believe you said you had a specific worker that has gone above and beyond her duty as well.
Oh, yes, I have. I've known her for a very,
yes,
very long time.
Yes, can you hear me? You're a little bit muffled.
I'm a little muffled. Do you hear me now?
Yes. You told me earlier you had a person that's done some above and beyond duties, call of duty things for you when you interacted in a public facility with her, a worker. Kindly shout her name out, say where she's from, what company, and tell her what she's done that oppressed you.
Right. Oh, well, her name is Stephanie Angeli. If you look for her on Facebook, she's known as Stephanie Angeli. And she's an amazing person. She worked at McDonald's for like a couple of years. And she, I mean, not only is she special in any way, I mean, mentally, and, you know, she has a great heart, but she has a deformity with her hand. And
you broke
as
up,
long
sweetheart.
As I know, huh? You hear me?
All right. Our connection is a little bad with you, so if you are getting dropped, please call back.
Okay. If I get dropped, yeah, I will call back. Just in case.
All right. There you are. There you are. We got you back.
Oh, all right. Let's find my phone.
Stephanie Angeli, you said?
Yes. I've known her for, like, many years, and seeing her work at McDonald's for the past few years, and she was trying to get out of it, was a big thing. But she has, a certain deformity with her hand. You know, so everything, when she would go to a customer and work with the cash and everything, the customer would, like, hesitate to go down on her line because of her hands. And I've heard several times customers say, oh, I don't want her dealing with my food because of her hands. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's like so disrespectful. It's not like she's dirty or anything like that. She's not. She's a very clean lady, you know. It's just her hands. Her hands are deformed. And you know what? You know, I adore her. I adore her very much because she was a very hard worker there. And she did everything she could. She worked the morning shift. She worked the afternoon and the night shift. And she was there every single day without. If she's sick, she's sick, but she still shows up to do the cash and everything. And I will always go on her line just to see her because I've known her for so many years. You know, and just as she is performing and people ask her, oh, why do you go on her line? It doesn't bother me. You know, it really doesn't bother me. Her hands need to perform, but she has a good heart and she's a great worker. She no longer works at McDonald's anymore, and it's not, there's McDonald's on Esther Street in Lower Manhattan. And she doesn't work at McDonald's no more. She recently got a better job. Working with the elections, which is great. You know, I mean, she got paid very little money in McDonald's, and she's getting paid better. So I am very proud of her, and yeah, I'm giving Angelique a shout out. Definitely a shout out.
And you make sure that when you get in touch with her, you tell her to hit the archive so she can hear it, okay? Because I don't think I worked in fast food for 24 years, and I will tell you right now that out of all of the public service jobs there are out there, the customer service positions, the fast food workers get the worst rap. They get the worst rap. I don't care where they're from. I do believe that individual bosses make the difference, but on the whole, like, the standard unspoken rule is that these guys have to take crap and smile. There are certain things I witnessed in the Wendy's as the crew later promoted to a manager, and I will tell you that it is crazy. Some of these people take their $1 burger to be the most cherished and valuable thing there is out there. There, you're required to smile. You're not always required to take a break. Nobody really cares about whether your mind is in a good thing. You have to sit there smiling through your tears as a cashier. You have to clean people's nasty attitudes and nasty droppings behind them when they could clearly get up and do certain things like take their tray to the garbage can. Not that we mind doing it, but when we see that, you know, it's a insult when you see the person's expression as if they're letting you know it's your job to do it. Yes, it is, but my God, you know, what does it take for you to walk two steps to the left? And you know something, if workers actually saw customers trying to do that, they would actually go over and go, no, don't worry about it, I have it, I'll get it. You know, not that that is a requirement, but it's called common human courtesy. And for these workers to do this on a daily basis, get up and do it again, some of them filling in for short staff, some of them filling in overtime, doing this because they have needs too. Some people don't care whether or not you just had a fight with your husband and he tried to stab you, or your child has a fever at home, or you just got told by your landlord that you've got 30 days to get out. Making that job twice as necessary, overtime twice as necessary, meaning that they're willing to throw themselves into smiling for extra hours now. For a problem you don't even know exists, as long as you have your tray and set and any extras that you might add. Okay, there are people out there that do care, that will smile back, that actually will appreciate being smiled at when they come into order. So those are people that are rare and few. But a customer, a fast food worker can service thousands of customers in an hour. They can serve thousands of customers in an hour of people they've never seen before unless they're regular diners there. And it takes nothing to give a smile. It takes nothing to give a smile. So Brandon, Mark, Stephanie, Miss Murphy, you keep on giving the difference in this world, because you see, negativity in today's society is a dime a dozen. Is a dime a dozen. And smiling seems to be the rarity thing. So for those of you that are going above and beyond, through all the smart mouth people, through all the demands, thank you for that. Keep it up. God will bless you. You will be recognized somewhere down the line, because you never know who's standing on that line watching what you just went through with three customers ahead of them. You never know. They have mystery shoppers. These companies have the nerve to have mystery shoppers to come in and secretly watch what you do and record you and report you. And that shopper sometimes could have come in at the tail end of an argument that was taking place between a customer who tried to beat one of the workers, and they came in after half of it was down. It's annoying. Now, another set of workers that go unnoticed with high demands are retail workers. The department stores, especially during Christmas, especially during Mother's Day and Valentine's Day, all of those people work hard, stand on their feet, smile to get the sale, smile to do whatever. Some of them are working commission positions, meaning that if they don't make a sale, they don't make a check. And then there's the stock people that carry those thousands of boxes to the back at about 20 pounds each. Just to make sure that everything you walk in looks appealing for you to buy, it looks straight, and they service you. Make sure that any out of the ordinary needs that you have, they're accommodating. It makes absolutely no sense that anybody would be nasty with these workers. Unless, of course, there's a worker who has stereotyped you before you stepped over the threshold and followed you around as if you're about to steal something. In that case, that's just the person being a nasty person. Going to take a break. When we get back, we'll continue this off and get some more shout-outs if I have any, and I will be airing them on the air. Going out with Paramore's Ain't It Fun. Be back in 5 minutes.
What are you gonna do?
Celebrating the working class of public servants that are out there doing their jobs, going unnoticed. Most of them are out there getting the worst end of everybody's attitudes, not realizing, I'm speaking about the customers coming in, that one of these workers may have just been told something that is the worst news of their life, but they came in and they stayed with a smile. to make sure that you walked out of your experience with them feeling great. And one of the things that happens in the workforce is that of all the public service jobs that there are, fast food workers get the worst rep, retail workers in these department stores get it bad, the parks and recreations people, the transit system workers underneath, that's cleaning the trains and cleaning the buses and the subway platforms, and also even transit workers. You know, there are people that get on, they have a bad day, they feel it's okay to take it out on you because they're paying you in their minds. You have to serve them. Some of these customers take that the customer is always right as a deliberate way to start some trouble and dare you to respond, and will cost you a job while they got their rocks off for a couple of minutes. So On the Edge is trying to give these workers just a little bit of a token of appreciation in a big way, hopefully. And I'm going to repeat these workers again. Any of you that are out there that are either workers yourselves or were customers that received some outstanding service from one of these workers, kindly do me the favor and call us here at 347-327-9967. Even if you don't remember their names, try to remember what time you were there and where you were so that we can give at least a store the shout out. Now, I'm going to start with my three people that I've witnessed. One of them I've seen consistently keep a smile on her face with all of the rotten things that comes her way for her 8-hour shift. And that would be Miss Murphy of the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation. She works the Montpelier Playground out here in Springfield Gardens, Queens. This woman has been dealing with the after trash of people that smoke drugs, people that drink, people that have sex on the benches outside of where the children play, leaving behind whatever goes with those activities. And she'll come out with her broom every day in her gloves, and she'll smile and still give all the children there some extras, like she'll try to make sure the sprinklers are on if it's a hot day. She makes sure that there's no glass around for your children to cut their feet on, and she does it with a smile. And there's a lot of people that come in there, and they're yelling at her, or they're tossing things on the floor right in front of her. Or they'll make sure that while she has her broom in her dustpan, okay, they'll throw a crumpled piece of paper or a bottle right while she's sweeping when there's a trash can right next to her. So she takes it with a smile. She figures it's her job. She'll do it. She'll go home. And what a lot of you don't understand in the New York City area is that many of these transit workers cleaning up the parks, cleaning up the rat-filled tracks, cleaning up and sweeping and mopping behind people that have urinated in the train tracks, urinated in the train cars, homeless people that are throwing up and throwing their foods all over the floor. They're doing it because the New York City Department of Human Resources are giving them some fly-by-night benefits that don't really cover the cost of their living, and they're being forced to work for those benefits, not for an extra check, but for the benefits they already receive. So the next time that you look at somebody picking up one of your napkins that you felt wasn't your job to pick up, you think about what that person is going through. So Ms. Murphy, kudos to you, big up, shout out, all of the things that come along with meaning we appreciate you. We appreciate you. Brandon and Mark of McDonald's store number 3392 in Springfield Gardens, Queens, the way you handled that outrageous group of people at 1 o'clock in the morning and the large orders and the missed details and all of these things and the people coming back after already giving you a large order and you sat there and said no problem and you smiled and still joked and said hi to our children. Big up to you young boys being different from two things, the bad rap that McDonald's is now known for and for the modern-day youth society, the bad that comes with what everybody thinks of today's youth. You boys were the epitome of professionalism, of ethics, of friendly, of everything. And I walked out of there feeling great, even with me going back to getting something and asking you to please add another order on. Big up to you. And the place was kept clean and you kept wiping down your your counters. You made sure everything we got was hot, fresh, and clean. And you smiled on the way out and said, thank you for coming. Thank you and have a good night. Something that is a rarity in this day and age, especially with everybody being caught up in technology and cell phones. Thank you for that. And if nobody else says it, we did. And I emailed your bosses to make sure that they knew of my experience. I have a caller coming in, ladies and gentlemen. Allow me to bring them in. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Katie, and good evening to the rest of your panel. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
All right, Deacon Zeddy
Williams,
all right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I've been listening for a while, and I didn't want to, I was just going to listen this evening, but I just want to commend you on the shout-outs that you are giving to the people that are in the employ of service to other people, because I have a great appreciation for them. For me, myself, I'm a certified chef. I worked for 12 and a half years at a large hospital here in Toledo, Ohio. And I was one of the first cooks there at the hospital. As a matter of fact, I was the first black first cook that they've ever had there. And in the 12 years that I worked there, I had become known as the cheerful grill cook when I would work in the cafeteria. And that is because I was in charge of a 10-man crew that worked the cafeteria, the grill area, and the serving area. And I used to stress to them every day, you know what, you're working in a hospital. You have to be aware. You don't know who you're coming across here. So smile. Have a smile on your face, even if you're having a bad day. You never know when somebody's coming into this cafeteria if they're dealing with a terminal illness, or they just lost a loved one in this hospital, or somebody has just harassed them, or they were a victim of a crime or something. Because you're right there in the hospital, no telling what people are dealing with coming in there. And I told them, I said, you need to smile every time, you know, you deal with a customer. And a lot of them would get upset with me because they're saying that I was bringing pressure down on them from the other supervisors and the people that were over me. I said, well, you know, if that's the case, you are in the wrong business, because you are in the business to serve, and that's what your job is. And you're supposed to give the people service with a smile, regardless of what their attitude may be. You know, you keep that to yourself, and then maybe we could talk about it later on in the back with each other, you know, and I can help you get through the day. But as far as the people that do these jobs, where some people might think they're just little minor and meaningless jobs, but if it wasn't for those people of service, believe me, the majority of the world would be at a standstill.
Totally agreed. I worked the fast food world both as a crew and as a manager for over 20 years, and I will tell you that it is the most thankless job there is, maintenance as well, because people will sit there and deliberately make something for the maintenance people to have to do and won't think twice about it. And, you know, it's not that there's a problem at all or any shame in being a janitor or a maintenance person. It's the fact that people walk out and view these people as a nobody. People don't look in the public transit systems and remember that in those dark tunnels underneath the ground are rats that crawl everywhere. They don't know if this, you know, person went to go take out a garbage and a 3-pound rat jumped up and bit them, you know. And yet, when we are on the train, we're the first people that will complain that it smells or that it's dirty. Yet half of the time, the very people that are causing the mess are the ones complaining about it.
Yeah.
You know, and that is one of the things that, you know, I find offensive, honestly. I find that offensive because, you know, you don't know what these people are going through. The same way you told your crew that you don't know what the customer who's walking into a hospital cafeteria is dealing with, that may cause the reason why they're snotty or snappy.
Right.
The same goes for a customer walking in. You know, most of these fast food places are cheap. So you're getting,
right.
you know, a great meal for, you know, about $5 for six items. And
right.
you're getting certain things. And if you want something a little extra and you gave respect when you asked, you'll get respect in turn. McDonald's has gotten the biggest public criticism lately because 99% of their workers, okay, are nasty. Not because a customer was nasty to them, but because they just don't feel like being there, but they want to get the Jordan sneakers that their mother and daddy won't pay for, or the older people need to be there. There's not a smile. There's not a, hey, how are you? There's not a hello to the children, nothing. And that McDonald's is a child-friendly place, or at least so these people are standing there, and the younger crew in particular, they're walking around with their earrings in their ear and their gum popping and, you know, the whole nine. And McDonald's has gotten publicly ridiculed for it. And to see these two young men, and they were young, I wouldn't give them more than 19, okay, were handling one of the most unruly crowds I've seen at that time of morning. There were a lot of large orders. It was a small group. It wasn't even the usual crowd that was there that usually, you know, takes up the whole space in the lobby online. But that this crowd pretty much was ordering for a large crowd. And
right.
these guys, there was only one cashier and one line coordinator. I don't know what the official term is in McDonald's for the person that bags up the customer's orders for the cashier, but this particular young man was named Mark, and I remember I kept teasing and saying he looked like Chad Ochocinco. And he would smile at me and laugh whether he liked Ochocinco or not. To me, he looks like Chad Ochocinco, and I was telling him that, and he would just laugh and giggle with me and keep it moving. Meanwhile, there's about three grown people yelling at him because there wasn't three extra ketchups in the bag. You know, clearly they saw there was a reconstruction project going on and that they still were open for business. And these guys sat there, oh, come on, man, I said I wanted this. And meanwhile, I have five people I'm ordering for. And there's about six people online that's ordering for 14 people. Or one person that just can eat that much. And these guys were smiling. They were saying hi to the kids. They were like, oh, no problem, sir. Bear with me. We'll be right with you. Oh, you want something
right.
extra? No problem. Oh, my bad. Maybe I did forget it. I thought you only said one thing, sir. I'll be right with you. They were quick about it. The food was fresh. Nothing was thrown together. They were carefully wrapped and everything.
Right.
And even myself, having already placed a large order, realized I wanted something extra. And they took it gracefully. They took it gracefully, and I was very shocked with the fact that A, it was McDonald's, and B, it was young kids. Because both of those things are getting a very bad rap nowadays. The youth is getting a bad rap because it's not the big mama generation anymore. And McDonald's definitely is like, you know, the slums of fast food now. So for these two young men single-handedly to contradict all that we know about things now, was something I felt needed to be recognized out loud. And that was something that, as a fast food worker, when you used to get those comments back from people who took the time to actually write them and you got your accolades, it was a good feeling.
Right.
These are kids that are working, you know, choosing to be in an employment place rather than a club or at some, you know, all-night store getting in trouble. They're choosing to work. And then you have people that feel it's just McDonald's. That person needs to give me this. Yo, I want this, and I want extra fries, and make sure my fries are hot. This is what they were hearing as one person. And I personally felt maybe there should have been an extra cashier. But Brandon handled it. Miss Murphy, she's a New York City Parks and Recreation worker. All right, she actually works for the city employment side, not the welfare side. And this woman deals with drunks, throwing their beers, weed, throwing things on the floor. She deals with condoms. She deals with broken glass. She deals with people tossing ice cream, icy cups, all sorts of stuff. And every single day from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., this woman is in and out. She'll come out, she'll take her broom and her dustpan. If anybody drops something, just that quickly, she scooped it up. She'll tell parents, hold on, sweetie, I don't want the babies to get cut. Meanwhile, right while she's saying that, here comes some uncouth person throwing a bottle of beer or something right on the floor in front of her when there's a garbage can 2 steps away from her. And she'll take it up with no problem and still go, it's hot out here. Let me get this water on for these babies. Every morning. And they don't allow those workers to sit, get a break, nothing. They're not allowed to go into the sprinkler when they're working a blazing hot day. They're not allowed to stop for water. And if they are, they got to do it quick and inside and run back out and make sure that if they're surprise pop-up supervisor visits happen to come out at that time, they better be outside and explain where they were. Another group of people I would like to say thank you to are the school crossing guards. School crossing guards are not allowed to take a bathroom break without calling somebody in the main headquarters to report that they have to run right inside to go pee. They're not allowed to wear umbrellas in the rain. They're not allowed to go into a place when it's blazing hot to cool off or warm up when it's freezing cold. They're not allowed to stand right where the kids go. They have to be at a specific post on the opposite end of where the kids cross from and guide those people there. It's atrocious. These are little people, and they're really like paid volunteers. So to hear the public be so demanding and nasty, and everybody has something to say about one negative 15 times over before they'll talk about the 15 positives. And kudos to you, Deacon Williams, if you were a hospital chef. I know exactly how that is from having had quite a bit of asthma visits to the doctor with my own children. You're back there and they're pissed off because, you know, it's not wrapped right. Why don't you have this today? Why is it tasting like this? It's not this way. It's not that way. You know, this is too much money. It's this. It's all of that. But it's a hospital of luxury that was afforded to you for some convenience while you're there waiting on your loved one, you know? And you're talking about that a hospital chef has to not only cook for the public, but they have to cook for the hundreds of patients that's in there too.
Yes.
And I know you guys, are, as much as all fast foods are, twice as much so, you guys are obligated under the Department of Health. You're under a lot more scrutiny.
Right.
You know, you're subjected to a whole lot more random visits from the health department. You can lose your job on the spot if they find out that, you know, you forgot to take the fork out of the sauce or you put the sauce in the other thing. You know, I know about that too. And it's hard. Then you got to deal with some special needs patients that can't have, you know, sugar, or they can't have salt, or they're allergic to glucose, or they have gluten problems. You have to think about all of that and on a daily basis. So, yes, most definitely, I say kudos to you. And then to be able to keep a smile in the midst of all that, the public needs to understand that just because it's not big and sparkly and glittery and it's not flashing in the marquee over some Broadway billboard doesn't mean that your position is any less relevant or important. The transit workers have to go out, whether there was a hurricane, a blizzard, an ice storm, an earthquake, they have to go out there because everybody wants their money and everybody wants the people to get to work to get their money. While we sat back and we had a snow day, we had an excuse not to go into work, the children got to stay home, we got to talk about, you know, we can't go on the streets, allow the workers to clear it up for you first. Those workers don't get a thank you for anything. It's a sad situation. Yes, go ahead, sir.
A lot of times that those service jobs are thankless jobs. And for anyone that is listening, if you decide to get into a service job, you have to know that it is a thankless job. A service job is something that you have to enjoy doing. It has to be in your blood. And if you're not able to deal with all types of different attitudes coming at you and different types of people coming at you, that's not the field of business or employment that you would want to be in. I can assure you that. And I've had to deal with all kinds. You know, before I got the job, before I came here to Toledo, Ohio, and worked for this hospital for 12 years, I worked for the governor of the state of New York City for 4.5 years. I worked for the Rockefellers for 4 years, right out of high school, once I got out of high school. So, and that, it was totally different because I dealt with a lot of what you may, some people may want to call uppity people, because for lunch they would have prime rib, lobsters, shrimps, and this is just for lunch. And you would be appalled on how much food they would waste. I've seen people lose their jobs because they would try and put something to the side to take home to their families. And I talked to one of the Rockefellers about it. And one of my coworkers told me that, well, if you bring it to them, you're going to wind up getting fired because they saying that's against the rules. I said, well, it's not going to hurt for me to go and talk to this person. So I had a conversation, arranged a meeting with him, and told him about how I felt about the person getting fired for trying to take some food home to their family. I told him, I said, he had a family of 8 young children, you know. And I know for a fact that when he was getting paid compared to what I was getting paid working there, that's not enough for him to take care of a family of 8. He also had to do a security job in order to try and make ends meet to take care of his family. But eventually, I got it passed to where it was okay to take a certain amount for certain people that had families that were, you know, that were struggling at home. It was okay for them to take the leftovers instead of them just throwing away, because that's basically what they do when you're in the food service business. The food that is left over, they throw in the garbage. And it goes out into a dark alley somewhere, and the rats eat like candy. You know, so I told the boss, I said, well, it seems to me it's really odd that you would rather feed rats than to have people that would eat the food and wouldn't waste it. And at first he was telling me that, well, they would be held liable. I said, well, all you would have to do is have a consent form or a waiver form made out and have them sign it before and let them know that they have to sign this waiver so you won't be held liable. I said, and I can't see how so many people with so much high education couldn't come up with an idea like this. You know, and he laughed, but he made the arrangements and got it done. There's a lot of people in this world today that are very inconsiderate of others. And that is a very sad thing. And they don't realize that's one of the sins in this world, too, is that we're going against God's word when it tells us to love one another. It doesn't say be a butthead towards another person. It tells you to love them. You don't have to like them, but the word does say to love your neighbor. It doesn't say like your neighbor. I can love you all day long, but that doesn't mean I have to like you.
True.
So they have to, the society needs to wake up and go to the dollar store. Everybody that's listening, go to the dollar store and buy a mirror. And anytime you want to complain or talk about somebody that's doing a job that you think that's not much and it's beneath you, you go to a dollar store and you buy that mirror and you keep it in your back pocket. And anytime you want to look down on somebody, you take that mirror out your back pocket and you look at that mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, in today's society, there's a lot of people who have problems with, they want to talk about a splinter in somebody else's eye and they're walking around with a 2x4 on their own. Wow. We have to get away from that. We have to get back to the basics and get back to loving on one another, because the way society is now, we're going to hell in a breadbasket.
Yes, we are. And it also, the Bible also says, if you can help your brother and you told him that you'll wait for to pray to God to help him, you've committed a sin. But going
right
back to the side of these workers not being recognized. Everybody has their hand out and their mouth open, and no one is stopping to think for a second. You know,
right.
I sat there while I was waiting on my order, and even got to the point where I forgot what my order number was, and this poor boy is calling out my order number, and, you know, I'm like, oh, wow, that's me. You know, I mean, they even go through that. It's like they're
right.
not afforded the right to be human, but we are afforded the right to be human, and we dare them to make something inconvenient for us. And working in the fast food world or the public service world, everybody has a demand. Everybody has a backseat advice. Everybody has a way to tell you how to do it and wouldn't stop to pick up your uniform, your broom, your gloves, nothing. Because they feel that if they're giving that much hell to the person from the other side of the counter, should they be in that position, they're going to get it all back. But think, the next time any of you go to a stadium to see a sports event, and all you're thinking about is that you're standing on a long line waiting to get food, understand, a stadium is filled with more than 15,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Who sometimes come back for seconds and thirds, and people that usually go to stadiums are not doing it by themselves. They're coming with families. They're coming with groups of friends. They're coming with their girlfriends and their boyfriends. And yes, stadiums are overpriced, absolutely, but that's the experience of being in a stadium, of going to a movie theater. There are people sitting up there rushing you, as if you could make the hot dog that they happen to come in order after the last one sold. As if you could make them cook any faster because the customer's yelling at you. You know, it's a thankless job, as you said, Deacon, more in more ways than they understand. The next time you're on a train and you decide to stick your headphones in your ear and look down and get pissed off because you sat there and looked at a napkin that you had to step over. Think about the fact that trains are like 8 to 10 cars long. Some of these platforms are about a mile long. Okay, so these workers are only humans with 2 feet that have to walk at a human speed. And they're dealing with thousands and thousands of people in a minute that's coming in and out of these trains and these buses. But yet and still, at some point, you find yourself not dealing with that mess anymore, and you know it wasn't you who picked it up.
Right.
Think about the fact that after your 9-to-5 job has ended and you've made your last connecting train or bus to your home, that worker is still there dealing with the homeless person who just came in. Don't know if they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. They're peeing in their pants. They're defecating on the platforms. These people have to go behind and pick up a perfect stranger's waste. And some of them are not in it because there's a paycheck behind it. Some of them are in it because they have to in order to keep welfare benefits.
Yeah.
And that's all they can do. Some of them were told to report to work even though their kid was just spiking 103 fever. And they still showed up and didn't curse you out for having to ride the train that day. And those very people that are sitting up there complaining and giving the big mouth will be the first person that would throw that trash on the floor because they know it's not their job to pick it up. There's little things that we all can do to make a little bit of a difference. It may not be an impact, but saying thank you and how are you today to a worker that you don't know or that you see working around you while you just missed your train and have to wait for 15 minutes for the next one.
Yes.
While you're complaining about the train, they have to pick up something you just dropped on the floor. Or somebody behind you or in front of you just did. And for those of you that go into these fast food places, do understand that you're not the only thing they have to do. So in the middle of trying to serve you, get your order together, they got a 15-second timer for drive-thru and a 15 seconds at a counter order and 30 seconds at a drive-thru order to get your order taken, prepared, and delivered and get you out to the next person. And this is what the corporations put on them, not taking into consideration that the fry machine may have went down, the soda machine is not calibrating the syrup and the carbonated water. Okay, that the person in the drive-thru, you did make your 30-second limit, but they're sitting in the drive-thru opening their order in front of the window. They also have to watch to sanitize the water. They have to make sure that the old fries were circulated and thrown away. They have to make sure that there wasn't any onions on the floor, that the onion scoop is not in the tomato scoop, and that the tomatoes didn't hit the cheese. They have to make sure that the person who just spilled a big old...
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
What happened to Katie?
I don't know. I think we lost her.
We'll get her back. We'll get her back.
Yeah, yeah. So how are you, Lady Diamond?
I'm okay. How are you, Deacon?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Just going through a little trial and tribulation right now, but everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, everything will pull through. Yeah, I got a question. I was going to ask you, right? The part about, what was it? That the worker was not allowed to bring the food out, and you asked them, is there a possibility that they could do like a consent form releasing them, like liability? Did they do it?
Right. Yeah, they did.
Oh, they did do it?
Yeah.
Ah. So, because I used to work in a restaurant called the Water Club, and this was like maybe 3-4 years ago. I used to work at the Water Club, and I went to the Art Institute for Culinary Arts. I went there for pastry arts, really. And just working there for my internship, it was like it wasn't only the rules. It was like they would give us a summons, or actually they'll find the restaurant if we take the food out of the restaurant at all, if it's served to the customers or anything like that. And there's like tons of food that's available. We're not allowed to bring it home because, you know, the restaurant is liable for anything that happens, like food poisoning or anything like that. And they're aware, you know, they're afraid of lawsuits. But in the consent form, I wish they did that, you know. I mean, I really wish they did something like that. Most of these restaurants.
Yeah, all they would have to do is just have them make out what they call a waiver.
A waiver,
so they wouldn't be held liable. They wouldn't be held liable.
Something like that.
You know, some places they have a lot more stricter health and food service laws than others, and they'll let you get away with it. But these were the Rockefellers. They basically could pull some strings to get I believe that's how that happened with me. And plus, they pretty much liked me because that was the first job once I went to Food Maritime Trades High School in New York.
Yeah.
And that was the first job I got after I finished school, so I really felt good about that. And like now, even today, the Rockefellers, they tell me that if I ever need a job, I wouldn't have to look far, that I can come to them and they'll put me in the business. So that's the good thing about that. So.
No, I mean, when you mentioned that, I was like, wow, that's funny, because I remember being in one of the restaurant management classes, that they're saying that, you know, we're not allowed to, you know, have any of our workers go out with the food that's from the establishment so we could avoid lawsuits. I was like, oh, wow, that's like something. And you see tons of food being thrown out. And, you know, it's like you can't do anything about it. Like you said, the rats live like kings, you know. Kings and queens, eating up the food and everything like that.
Right.
You know, I mentioned it. I remember working at the work, like, well, is there a possibility that we could give it to at least the homeless, because they need food too, at least give it to them or something. And they're like, no, we don't want to be liable for anything that happens to them. I said, wow. I said, okay. You know, but then the waiver is, that's like a good idea right there, you know?
Yeah.
All right, guys, I got dropped. Thank you very much for keeping the show going. I appreciate that.
All right.
Yes, there are some weather issues going on over here and some connectivity problems, so... You know, listeners, sorry you have to hear this quite often, but they're getting it all together, and it's one of those, you know, things you can't control. And technology is a double-edged sword. It can work for you, it can work against you. So thank you all for listening. Getting, that's what we were seeing, yes. We absolutely, what you just said, Deacon Williams and Elaine, for confirming, a waiver was a great idea because there's always a way to make good things happen if you want to.
Right.
You know, saying thank you to a worker, like I said, they see thousands of strangers in less than half an hour, depending on
right.
what time of day it is. And these people are not coming in caring about the person behind the counter. They're caring about what they're ordering. They're not caring about the fact that as a drive-thru customer with a line of cars still waiting to get their turn at the window, you're sitting on their timer.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Wendy's they had that. You had to get a customer's order from the speaker window, the speakerphone. Then you had to have their order ready by the time they drove up to the window, and you had to make sure everything was okay and complete the transaction and get them out before the timer beat the 30 seconds. And when
right.
they used to come in and still see that the timer was flashing at 1 minute, they didn't bother to ask, well, what happened? The customer stayed at the window. And then they also said, you can't tell a customer that they have to move because you have a timer going on. So what are you supposed to tell a customer who decides to be inconsiderate to the people behind them, okay, and to the person that they just serviced you and did what they had to do, that can you please move your car up to another location to check your order? Some people
right.
actually took the food out and started eating at the window. It's called drive-thru, people. It means you drive
mm-hmm.
through.
And it also means be considerate of others and stop being so selfish.
Yep.
That's basically all it is. It's so simple. People go through life today making things so much difficult than what it really has to be. It's like it takes so much energy to walk around with a frown on your face all the time. That takes so much energy. Do you know how much energy it takes for you to keep your face all frowned up and those muscles, how much you're contracting those muscles in your face that walk around with an ugly mug?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I mean, it's so much easier to walk around with a smile on your face. It's better for your heart. It's better for your blood pressure. And it's better for everybody. You know, but it seems like people want to make things harder than what they really have to be. And it shouldn't even be like that. That's because everything is moving so fast, you know, and one of my favorite sayings, everybody wants to microwave life, but you need to slow it down, be considerate of others. You have to be like that. You know, I mean, your life can be extended a lot longer. You know, you can't be walking around with looking like you got a bad lemon stuck in your mouth.
Indeed, that's true. And Elaine, when you spoke earlier about Stephanie being discriminated against by customers because of her deformity with her hands, you know, what does it matter? What
exactly.
does it matter?
Now that,
you know,
now that,
it
that
even
is
matter.
Very, that was very, that is, when I heard her talk about that, I said, now how ignorant could that be?
Very ignorant.
How could she possibly have an effect on what she was serving you because of her deformity?
Yeah, I mean, people are, like, so naive. They're so
ignorant.
I can't even think of a great, better word than what you just said, Katie. I mean, that's how they are. The people are, like, so ignorant. It's like, you know, they feel that, oh, wait a minute, she has a deformed hand. I don't want her touching my burger. I'm like, are you serious? She's not putting her fingers in a burger. You know, it's just, you know, it's so dumb. It reminds me of, there was a movie, like, years ago. I forgot. I think it was Haunted House, something like that. And one of the characters, he had, like, a deformity, and nobody would touch the food because he would, like, slobber all over and everything. His hands were deformed. I forgot the name of the movie. I know it has to do with the Wayans brothers. But her hands were, like that. But she was a clean person. She was very clean. Her customer service skills was awesome, and then when she served the food, she put on a tray and everything with the cup and everything. She held it right, and people were like, "Oh, I don't want her serving me." I'm like, "Are you serious?" But they kept at the register because they know that she's the best one. And I was like, "Wow!" And I would go on the line, and there's some people that they're good with it. But we don't even see that. we see, like, right past that. We don't even care. And there's other bitches who look at her like, ew, I don't want you touching my food. I'm like, you know, are you serious? You're not better than her.
That's absolutely disgusting. That's disgusting. It's atrocious. It's ignorant. It's discriminatory. It's everything you could think of. If this girl was sitting up there and picking her nose and then taking your burger, that's one thing. If she called you a name or gave you a snotty face, that's another thing. But if this child can't help the way she was born or what happened to her and she still manages to smile through her pain, shame on you. Shame on you for doing that. And you know, God has a way of making people walk in the shoes of those you ridicule. He does. He has a way of making it happen somewhere down the line where something affects you that way. And then you get a taste of what you've been to other people. You know, I'm by no means a saint. I've had my moments, but I will tell you, it's never been without, like, something happening first, because I try to live by the creed that I would like people to be treated the way I want to be treated back. I really do, and I try to teach my children the same. You know, you want to talk about somebody because their hands are smaller than normal or is different from what you think the standard average should be? You know how many men and women walk around disliking their height? I knew a person in Wendy's that was short, and she was a little person. And this little person could give you the biggest smile of the day, and people would giggle and grab their order from her and go, oh, I'm sorry, can you see down there? And she got to the point where, bless her soul, she's like, God made me who I am on the inside. I'm bigger than what you see on the outside. And you know what? For those people who can't see me for who I am and want to look at what's wrong with me. And I told her, let's backtrack that. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Nothing. So, Stephanie, Brandon, Mark, Miss Murphy, you know, you are the four people that's on the page because no one else decided to call in and say whatever. But I will tell you this. You are the people that your little gestures make big differences. You know why? Because we can find negative a dime a dozen in less than 2.5 seconds. Okay? It's the people that take the time to smile. You know how many times in Wendy's I got people looking at the sign to think, to wonder whether in a Wendy's or a five-star restaurant after dealing with me? I had a person at MSG tell me, you're really nice. Why are you so nice? I'm like, what? Why am I nice? Is there something wrong with that? No, but I'm a veteran. I've been coming to MSG for years, and it wasn't like this then. I'm like, well, I can't help what the problems were then, sir, but you're dealing with me now. You know, and I'll make crazy jokes that I'll, like, have people, like, blink for 2 seconds. You know, one of the things everyone knows about me, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. They could be trash for the year, or they could be the champions of the century. And I'm a diehard Knicks fan, okay? The accolades I received as an employee for doing outstanding whatever, when I got anything that dealt with a Knicks paraphernalia, I was like, what? I'm in heaven. So I used to make jokes when people would walk up to my register and be in another team's jersey, you know? So it would be like if they had a person that was in the Knicks jersey and then they were in, let's say, the Boston Celtics, I would go, hi, good evening, sir. How are you? Yes, welcome to the garden. Can I help you? They're fine. Oh, I said, really, dude? Come on. That's like walking into McDonald's with a Burger King uniform. And then they'll think twice, and I'll go, I'm not serving you. And they'll look at me and go, what? And I'll start, like, cracking up laughing. And I'll make jokes. I go, you in the Knicks jersey, have a nice day. You come back again, okay? You just go about your business. And they'll laugh, you know, because what does it take to give somebody a smile? You don't know if they use that game for the day to get away from fighting with their wife, or having their teenage kid curse them out, or they just found out that their kid just went out there and tried to play around with the wrong people and got caught up. You don't know what's coming through them. The same way customers, you don't know what that worker just went through. They could have just got chewed out by their boss just before you walked in. And I've seen it happen. And they got to take whatever tears they just shed and wipe their face up and make sure you don't look like you have a cold standing at the register serving food. Let me not take away the other group of people, those that work in the Macy's and the Bloomberg, the Bloomingdale's. I said Bloomberg. That's sad. The Macy's, the Bloomingdale's, the Toys R Us's. You guys, all you care about is why don't you have this toy that's on TV that's the biggest, hottest Christmas thing. I want to get my kid one. Do those workers handle the shipment? Is it their fault that you decided to go on Christmas Eve to find one of the biggest Christmas toys that's out there when you had more than 3 months' notice by all the commercials that keep splattering in your face? I'm not talking about those that couldn't afford to get there until the time it came. But I'm talking about those that knew could do it and felt like, I've got money, should be there, that's all. They're there every Mother's Day, every Father's Day, every Family Day, every birthday. They're there making sure that they have everything prettied up for you, stocked up. They have to deal with people saying, you know what, hurry up, get this off the floor because it doesn't look right. Those people that are stock boys, Monster Miles is one, got to deal with, you know, getting base pay and hopefully a commission, those ladies that stand at the cosmetic counters, having to convince a very skeptical public to buy one item for $90. And if they don't sell it, they don't eat, but they're wearing the Macy's uniform. Half of those workers don't even get hours because they're just put on call and then they're not allowed to retire for not getting hours. Do any of you care about that when you're standing there screaming as to why they don't have your special box? So again, Brandon, Mark, Stephanie, Miss Murphy, keep doing your thing because there are people out there that appreciate what you do. There are people that understand what it's like to take the indignant jobs and make it dignified by the way that you perform them. Thank you. And to those of you selfish, inconsiderate people, it takes so much effort to be mean and be nasty, as Deacon Williams just said. What does it cost to do something God naturally designed you to do and put a smile on your face? What does it take? Even if you don't know the person, did you stop to think that maybe they didn't snap at you right away because it was you or because they're nasty people? Maybe it's because you're the 15th person they served and 14 of them were nasty. What about that train worker that's wearing that big orange construction worker vest, letting everybody know, even in the dark, that we work for the city and we do your maintenance? For those of you that go, oh, I'm not going to sit on this toilet, it's nasty, and pee on top of the seats for them to go in and have to clean up, on top of somebody's vomit, on top of somebody's defecation, in a stadium or a subway station that sees millions of people. Those of you throwing toilet paper in the toilet and letting it clog up so it can make a bigger mess and a more unsanitary mess so that it has to close down so the rest of the people who wouldn't do what you just did have to suffer and wait till they get to Manhattan or to whatever long-term commute they have. Those people are working every day despite their family problems, despite what just took place, despite the rat that just bit their foot. Being forced by the city to work for the little benefits that they get or other people getting a little minimum wage job. Servicing you with a smile. The least you could do is smile back. The least you could do is say, don't worry, I'll throw my own napkin in the garbage. Don't worry, Macy's workers, I'm not going to throw the nice little rack you just organized on the floor because I didn't find my size in all of the hangers I just moved. The dressing room people that has to deal with these people that walked in with 8 outfits when the maximum is 3. They have to hold your 8 outfits now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come out and don't want not one of them.
Now they got to clean the dressing room and find the place that you found that dress at and put it up on the little rack. Then here comes a little store runner who has to come and take it because you want to look fly for whatever it is you got to do that night. And you don't care what these people who stand on their feet all day because they can't even sit. Who don't have proper shoes, because it's not like, you know, every sneaker is designed thinking of a person standing on their feet in mind. Think about that. The next time you want to complain that they didn't have your McChicken sandwich or there were no fries ready. The next time you see a bottle on the floor in a park that you threw there. Think about that. And think about the fact that the two of the four people that we just mentioned are young boys who could be out there standing in a subway station ready to mug you. Absolute nonsense. I want to take a little short break, panelists. I will be back in 4 minutes. You guys, I think about this, and I think about what those boys went through. I think about what Miss Murphy goes through. I think about the young kids and the older people, that some of them are elderly in those train cleaning jobs. And they have to dodge rats and dodge bottles and make sure nobody is too drunk and stumbling that could throw them on the side of a train coming on to them. It's sad. Have some consideration and thank a worker. Thank a worker. Labor Day shouldn't just be once a year. They labor all the time. Thank a transit worker.
I do it all the time.
Good. We need to keep that moving. Guys, I'm going to go out with Kenny G's Don't Make Me Wait for Love, and I'll be back in 4.5 minutes. Thank you, too, for coming in and hanging out with me, okay?
No problem.
Be right with you.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Tonight, we are saluting the working class of public servants, those people that have been taking on some demanding but thankless jobs, been overlooked, unnoticed. And we would like to take this moment to give them the opportunity to shine. And the four people that are on this showcase tonight is Mark and Brandon of McDonald's Store number 3392 in Springfield Gardens, New York. Those of you that are out in Queens, you know the one I'm talking about. It's on North Conduit Boulevard and Springfield Boulevard. And also to Stephanie Angeli, who was formerly a New York McDonald's worker who has been given help because she has a handicap. And to Ms. Murphy of the New York City Department of Park and Recreation, who services the Montpelier Playground in Springfield Gardens, Queens. I want to thank you four for being remarkable and outstanding individuals, offering perfect and outstanding customer service despite the attitudes and despite the thanklessness and despite the inconsideration of a lot of people. To you, MTA and public transit workers, you cleaners, you maintenance people, you retail workers, thank you for everything that you do. We don't get to say it very often, those of us that would like to, that is. And for those that don't, we're saying thank you for them too, because they don't realize that without you, their life would be a whole lot more upsetting. So Deacon Eddie Williams spoke on being a chef in a hospital. Well, Deacon Williams, thank you for your 12 years of service. Elaine, you and I have walked the public streets trying to service people in the beauty and talent world. We've gotten spit at, and we maintain smiles. So I guess we thank God for being who we are as well.
Yep.
Thank you for being a softball coach, keeping some arts alive. These are the things that we have to do, because despite what negativity and is being thrown in our way and making us believe that there's nothing behind the big brick wall, we know that somewhere there's a loose brick or a doorknob that turns or a hollow path or something that goes behind there. And if we can get to it, starting with one small brick at a time, there's a whole new world that can be built.
Yes.
Deacon, I agree with you. It takes a whole lot more effort, body muscles, strain to frown in the negative rather than upturn a smile in the positive. You know, it's just ridiculous that we are splattered on a daily basis with terrorism threats, with war, with prejudice, with everything. And something as simple as saying thank you to a worker is a problem. Saying thank you to a worker is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's just awful. And I see that some of these people have to bite their lip and bite their tongue and go in the back and breathe it out and still have to come back and service the line. A dollar burger is not that serious, people. It's not that serious.
It's not
okay.
That serious, all right. It's not. Then the thing is, I mean, then they wonder how come some customer service who from McDonald's, Burger King, all the fast food places, even Macy's, whatever, and then they wonder how come they get an attitude back. I remember going to a Sprint store. And you know, I'm a very friendly person. I am very friendly. And I think all my contacts were deleted. Because there was no problem with my phone. So I said, Lady Nice, so listen, I know you have like one of those machines that will bring the contacts back so you can switch it over. Can you do that? Her being a smart mouth, she's like, oh, you know, I don't have my Harry Potter wand to work to do anything for you right now. I was like, what? I mean, are you serious that you said that to me? I'm like, who's your manager? She just looked at me, I'm like, no, who's your manager? You want to be a smart mouth with me? You know, who's your manager over here? So I can tell me that's the way you told me. You know, and I just wonder what you want to do to say that to me, you know? So you wonder how come they just throw back at you. Even you could just be an innocent person just being nice to them. They just throw right back at you with an attitude. You're like, whoa, I wonder who said you off to make you like that.
Right, and in those situations, if a customer experienced that from a worker, by no means should that worker be celebrated. Obviously, you know, regardless of what, especially if that's their constant attitude. But mm-hmm. on the whole, it's not that. On the whole, on the big broad blanket of it all, okay, fast food workers, retail workers, maintenance guys, you know, street cleaners, public transit workers, they don't get thank yous. They get expectation. We expect you to be there. We demand of you to be there. You know, there are a lot of public bus drivers, at least out here, that they're snotty anyway. You know, mm-hmm. We're not speaking on them. We're speaking on the ones that take the extra effort to rise above and beyond what the collective says.
Right.
The way it used to be. When bus drivers used to smile at their regular passengers and, you know, people used to know that you come to the diner every day before work to get a coffee and a butter roll. People who used to have a personal, intimate knowledge of people that they service. You know, nowadays, as we speak about all the time, Deacon Williams, you speak about that being a pet peeve of yours. Everybody is, if you're not a cell phone, we don't know you.
Right.
If you're not a cell phone, we don't know you. So it's worth what? What does it take from you to give a person 1 second of a smile and 1 second to say, you know, thank you for my order. Thank you for bringing the bus today. Thank you for cleaning the tracks. And matter of fact, they may not expect it. You might shock them into a heart attack. You know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. We cannot get to the point where we are becoming absorbed like the robots that are trying to take our jobs. At the end of the day, these people make your life just a little bit easier. A cleaner train, a prettier rack of clothes, you know, a hot burger. And for those of you that give these fast food workers a hard time over a packet of salt, take your burger home and put some salt on it. Go to a diner next door if it's too late. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Is it worth attacking a person's character or giving them a hard day because in the midst of 1,000 people that they just served, they forgot a packet of ketchup? These people deal with crap all day for the 8 hours of
yep.
minimum wage pay they get.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. And like I say all the time, if the shoes don't fit you, don't wear them. Because we're not speaking to you. If you are a person that says thank you, keep it up. That's what this show is for. We want to continue to uplift and encourage positivity. okay? If you don't like what you're hearing and you're not one of those people who do those things, then by all means, take what I'm saying and apply it out there. You make a difference yourself and get out there and continue and do it maybe more so to be that person that's different. And for those of you that are offended because of something you do and you got an explanation, I'm sorry, no excuse for it. And everybody can have a bad day and might say something they regret. You know what would make you a good person? To go back and tell that person you just snapped at for no reason that you're sorry you were having a bad day. Because I'm sorry goes a long way. Thank you goes a long way. Thank you and I'm sorry. Two small words. Doesn't even require vocals that much. It's sad. It's sad that we are absorbed in our own backyards, our own cell phone beats, our own iPad, iTablets, whatever it is that's out there, and forgetting the fact that there's a flesh and blood person who just got up early, just came back from a night class to go work a job, trying to do something positive to contribute to society, and their job makes your life a little easier. Be it that they can serve up a cheap meal for you and fill you up, or clean a subway car, or pick up a beer bottle in a park. That's just one small thing that just made life one small thing easier. Why can't you make that person's life one small thing easier with a thank you? Smiles are free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Making somebody's day is priceless.
Yeah. Doesn't cost you a thing.
In our last 14 minutes, I would like to hear the panelists give their final. Let me start with you, Deacon, because you were the last one in.
Well, the only thing I have to say is lighten up, people.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I'm talking to, you know who you are. You know what type of person you give yourself off to be, and knowing good and well that you're really not that type of person. You know, and I just want to give a big shout out to all the service workers in the state of New York and the state of Ohio that are in under the employ of service. You do an excellent job. Don't let anything discourage you. Keep doing what you love doing and keep a smile on your face. Don't let some of these idiots discourage you and make you decide that, well, I don't want to do this anymore. You were placed in that position not at a will of your own, but you were placed there by God. And if you love doing that type of job, then that's a blessing from God. You keep doing what you're doing. And don't let anyone deter you from that.
Thank you for that. That was a wonderful thing to say. And Elaine, your statement? Lady Diamond?
Oh, yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. Do you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Well, I feel that everybody has to stop. You know, just stop. They just have to stop. And they have to see themselves in that position. They may say to themselves, oh, I will never see myself and working behind the counter wearing a McDonald's shirt, a Burger King shirt, a Wendy's shirt, or any type of, you know, uniform that will make me feel so low. I would never see myself like that because you never know. One day you can be the top-ranking person in your building, a law firm or a fashion showroom or anything like that, and then you all of a sudden end up in the retail section or you end up behind the counter working customer service. You never know. Something like that will happen, and it has happened. And a lot of people are so stubborn, and they'll actually stop and think to themselves, wow, you know what? That could be me behind that counter. Yeah, I am fortunate to have a better job, but you know what? I'm happy that this person is here to help me with what I need. And you know what? I should be thanking this person, too, for actually trying the best they can to deal with me and the millions of other customers that they see every day with their nasty attitude. And maybe I should smile at them more often and maybe make their day. You know, whenever I see someone who works at McDonald's, Burger King, anywhere, even in the retail, Macy's, Conway's, you name it, I give every one of them a smile. I always say, how you doing? I give them a good conversation, something like that, and it makes their day. They're human just like any of us. Because I could see myself behind that counter one day and say, you know what, that's going to be me. if you know, that could be me too. I didn't have a job before. I'm lucky to work right now, and I see myself every day and say, you know what, that could be me. That could be my daughter behind there one day. That could be a friend of mine there. Why should I discriminate them because they get paid less than me and make them feel less than what they really are? They're worth a lot more than what any, how anybody treats them. And everybody should open their eyes and see that they are as human as we are. And they work and they have families and they try the best they can to do what they can to make themselves live for very little money.
Thank you very much. I concur with both of you. You don't know what that person goes through to keep that smile up for you, but yet the thing that they do that you so rapidly overlook is what makes your life go round. And once again, I said this in the beginning of the show, while this particular group of people are not applied to the working class of public servants, they are public servants on a higher basis. To the military, the troops that are out there, the troops that are being deployed over to these strange lands, coming back either a different person or missing something, you are protecting our lands and giving us the right to sleep at night while you do the dirty work. Let me thank you. On a daily basis, I thank you. On a daily minute, I pray for you. I pray that you understand that we respect what it is you're doing, because we would never get up to do it. You know, so I thank you for that. I want to say to all the workers that are out there, this is a small token of us saying that we thank you. There are people watching, but you know what? As Deacon said, don't let anybody deter you from being the cheery person that you are. Don't let anybody stop you from saying that I want to make the best of what I'm doing and to be the best of who I am. Don't let anything stop that, because actually what you're doing is the thing that will set the trend and not be something that is followed. Okay, not being a follower of a trend. You are doing what is not the same old, same old. Everywhere you go, people are giving you mean looks or demanding, or they don't want to speak to you. They want to put their head in the game. They want to put their head in the music. They want to turn away from you. And you are all sitting there taking the time out to smile as you go. Very rare thing to do, very rare thing to happen, very hard job to sustain it when everybody is throwing darts in your direction. So I commend you very much. I thank you very much. I will do my best on a daily basis to say, have a good day, or to make your day, because that is what really counts. So until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is our Saturday Spread Your Wings Showcase. I will see you here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. to showcase our entrepreneurs and our unsigned artists. We got two new sign-ins, and I want to thank them for choosing us. I want to thank the 11,196 listeners that are steady climbing our listener base. Spread the word. Anything that you have a problem with, call us in. We'll either talk about it or get you to talk about it, and we'll try to see what we can do to make a difference and make a positive change. Thank you, Deacon Zeddy Williams, as always, for your time.
You're very welcome. Very well.
Thank you, Lady Diamond, for being my girl and being
no
my
problem.
Team member. Okay, thank you, listeners. Monster Mile, shout you out. I know you're out there hustling tonight. And we are thankful for you doing your thing in Macy's as well. Okay, till tomorrow night, please join us for the Saturday Showcase so that we can help those people on that list that's trying to keep above and beyond the society garbage. We want to try to see what we can do to connect them to their dreams. Okay, till tomorrow night, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.